Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
All right, let's go. You're rolling with Jason and John, 929 FM ESPN. Happy hump day to you. Hopefully everything is going smooth. Y'all know that's the way I like things. I want to start out here, minus my co-host, but he informs me that he's pretty confident and be able to join us a little bit later. We are joined as well, not by Brad Carson this time, but by King George. On the ones and twos. He'll be stepping in for Brad, who's off on business today. But as old, a different King George said, this train gonna keep on rolling. We got King George behind the glass, and I'm quoting King George. This show's gonna keep on rolling. We got plenty to do. What a night last night in the NBA. We will certainly be getting to it. Is it possible that the road teams haven't lost so far in the conference semifinals? Not just possible, that's what's happening. Unbelievable. Tyrese Halliburton, Mr. Most Overrated by his peers. Boy, the response continued last night. Donovan Mitchell gave everything he had, got dunked on at the end, and then they lost somehow again. I got a crazy NBA stat involving the Pacers we're going to talk about. Plenty of setup. Before we do, though, George, if you don't mind, pipe that music down. Turn it down because I'm about to turn. You, King George, are doing more of our shows.
Yes, sir.
Filling in very admirably anytime Brad needs you to here on the Jason and John show.
I appreciate
that. And I appreciate your work so far. And we've enjoyed having you. It occurred to me as I was driving in here and realized, okay, I'm going to be working with a real pro today in King George. You know what? We know a lot about our producer, our boss, Brad Carson, on the ones and twos, program director number one in the country, comes from a farm town in Illinois. Has several NFL teams.
Have to give respect.
Loves his Mississippi State Bulldogs because of his wife. Obviously loves his UNLV Running Rebels. I've been able to gather some things on you over the times that you've stepped in. And some facts, I hope.
Okay.
In us getting to know you more, that I want to run some things by you, make sure that I'm right on these, in our quest to get to know more about King George. Who's done, guys, if you haven't noticed, you can put this guy anywhere. He's fantastic at what he does and has very quickly has made himself a staple here at 92.9 FM ESPN. You ready?
Sure.
All right, here we go. King George is an Ole Miss man. King George is a Jets fan. King George went to school with Brave star Austin Riley. Thus, King George, from DeSoto County, as your license plate suggests.
I think that's the easy one.
King George, very computer savvy. In fact, highest percentile of those of us here at 92.9 FM ESPN, maybe even at Odyssey for sure. That's what it feels like, because I know you're around a bunch of computer bozos, and you're coming in. Would that be fact or no? Highest percentile here and when it comes to tech, computer savvy sounds so old.
Yeah.
Tech man.
I'll give you highest percentile. We Not everyone is computer illiterate, I guess, is a good way
to put it. Okay, you're being nice about it. Final thing.
Because Connor's great.
He's fantastic. He's fantastic. Awesome. You and Connor would be in the highest percentile, but you would be there with him from everything that I've gathered. And then finally, and those of you all that have heard George but haven't seen him, George drives a fancy two-door sports car.
I'll ding that, but fancy, I don't know if that's the
word for
it.
I mean, that thing is spiffy, bro. It reminds me of my old single days and sort of how I once envisioned myself. Now, I was in a Geo Storm. You are in a
Toyota.
So the big difference in terms of quality when I was about your age. But I want our listeners to really get to know you. And again, not just the facts that we've gathered over the years, but the great job. Here's the final thing. I do have one more thing. Mm. Much like me, it feels like, George has a very distinctive voice, doesn't he?
I have always been told.
Of course you have. Because you do.
It's not just that. I mean, of course, it all started with, funny enough, also, like you, has done plenty of things with music in my day.
Well, I don't know if you've got me there. I don't know that I've done plenty of things with music, but go right ahead.
I heard the story you talking. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Barely played an instrument, a recorder maybe. Go ahead.
Were you in choir?
I was, actually. My goodness. Y'all see how good this guy is?
I pay attention.
Guy's really good. Anytime we've got him, it's seamless. I hope you guys have noticed. But you were saying, your music background.
Yes, played in ensembles, band, whatever, from middle school through college. The amount of times I would go into the local music store, the Amro,
mm-hmm.
you know, up in Memphis, to either...
Oh, Amro,
you know,
very well.
Either go up there, get things repaired, buy something new, whatever it ends up being. One or two of the techs there would always be like, you know, have you thought about doing anything in radio? And at the time, of course, I'm in high school. I'm like, radio?
I just get that, too.
You know?
Yep.
And then I'm like,
Even when I was doing newspapers, they're like, dude, you need to be in radio. Yeah. You suck as a newspaper writer. But you got a
decent
voice.
No. Yeah. I'm sure you never got that.
No, man. I wanted to stop and just give you a respect burger for the work so far and the work that you continue to do. That's why the train can keep on rolling, because we got guys like King George around here. I'm looking forward to what you've got to say about what we saw last night. Pacers somehow, like we said, come back to beat the Cavs after trailing by 7 with less than a minute left. 119-112 it was. 57 seconds left, and they find a way to blow it. Donovan Mitchell 48. But boy, down the stretch, Tyrese Haliburton making the play when he needed to. Really, frankly, it was plays. He got his own rebound on one of those. We'll talk about how crazy that ending was. Golden State, surprisingly, in a different way, wins without Steph Curry, who suffered a hamstring injury in the first half of that 99-88 win over the Timberwolves. And did Anthony Edwards take a step back last night, especially for those of us that have been trying to push him up on the pedal in terms of guys we like in the league, guys that seem to back up their talk? He was being challenged after that loss by his head coach. And so there was plenty of news just last night in both road teams winning again. It's all we've seen, crazily, in the conference semifinals is the road team winning. Jerry Jones strikes. Dallas is trading for George Pickens from the Pittsburgh Steelers. Jerry Jones, again, making his move. He'd said as much after he, you know, most expected he would take a wide receiver there early on in the draft. He did not. Said something might be coming down the pike, and it is. My Cubs give up a 9-run 11th inning last night. That's my news right there. I'm not going to bother y'all, bore you guys with that, but it hurt me. Giants scored 9 in the 11th, and Cubs lose. Otherwise, I've been happy with the season so far. But plenty to do. Before we get to it, let me set up the show. 11:25, we'll do a makeup, and I'm thankful for it, with Jason Fitz, Yahoo Sports football host and Fox Sports radio host. Missed his regular hit with us yesterday. We're going to talk about this Cowboys trade. I mean, Cowboys fans, they're all over the city. I imagine they're buzzing today. I checked in with one. He told me, we got CeeDee Lamb, we got George Pickens, we still need a quarterback. Now, this is a Dallas Cowboys fan that goes back here. Like I said, you got one. You got Dak Prescott. Remember, he'll be back. He's been down about Dak and getting them over the hump. We know Dak's got another weapon. We'll see what Dallas decides to do with contract with George Pickens. Surely you're not going to trade for him and not pay him. That's what Pittsburgh didn't want to do. We'll talk about that trade and where it leaves Pittsburgh at this point. Signed DK Metcalf after trading for him, obviously, and they've got our man Calvin Austin III here from Memphis, who's now, you know, you go from 3 to right now, you're the 2 receiver in that offense, certainly. But we'll see. We'll see what happens with both and talk to Jason Fitz about both sides of that. We haven't talked with him about draft, and obviously we're going to talk NBA playoffs because of, frankly, how shocking they've been so far here in the conference semifinals at noon. We'll do the rundown. Got a pair of game twos tonight in Boston and OKC with the home teams both down 0-1 and in around 12:50 or so. The guy's making me sick. Maybe that's why he didn't show up today. We'll do fade Brad Carson. He's not here, but apparently we have his picks.
We do have his picks. Okay, I will be filling in there as well with all his picks. We should have all of his picks for the next couple days as well as we get into
figured
that.
He was on business. That's why I'm glad
he
we've got you
on
here.
On business.
And glad we're getting to know you even more. King George, again, guys, on the ones and twos. Brad has nailed down his last four picks. Now, the point of fade Brad Carson, George, you're a guy who catches on fast, so I know this is not new for you. But we fade him. Typically, Brad is so awful against the spread. Last year, it was tremendous for us. We faded him, and it left us, 14, 15 games over 500. It left us in the money this year somehow, and particularly over the last four games. While the NBA's been wacky, Brad has mastered it all, and he's gone 4-0 over the spread in the last four games. Again, that's stumbling block for listeners who are fading him. We'll have to decide what we're going to do tonight when we get those picks, 12:50 or so. And then at 125, very excited about this, too, before we get back to last night. We mentioned this yesterday, and we're going to get some questions answered for sure today with Norton Hurd the fourth. Not this weekend, next weekend. So it's actually it's Smokeslam weekend. Also in Memphis, and something, you know, in terms of economic impact, Nike YBL comes to town. This is session two. You guys should be used to us talking Nike EYBL now with Norton Hurd, the fourth Team Thad program director and coach who leads Team Thad, and they are the Nike-sponsored program from Memphis that every year has gone out seeking what every team on the EYBL circuit wants, the Peach Jam title. That's the session four at the end of the road in North Augusta, South Carolina. That never changes. What changes are the sessions and the locations of them, and for the last few years, Nike has chosen Memphis with the sports, new Sports and Events Center, and they've brought it out there. You've had all the star, you know, star players, four, five stars, 17 and unders, all out there. And, of course, you've had their fathers, Carmelo Anthony, some of these guys. You know, Kenny Smith has a team. You've seen him there. Brings out all of the grassroots highest level in terms of what Nike's got to offer. Norton Hurd has always been a part of that. The difference this year, and that's why I'm so excited to talk with Hurd about not just Team Thad's chances and the EYBL. I think they're 2-1 here to start off the first session. But this year is a live recruiting period for NCAA coaches. And so unlike previous years that I've been out, that I've seen and understand, and Hurd can get us correct on this, if not, you will have every college basketball coach in the country here to watch EYBL this time in the Memphis Sports and Events Center. And so for an event that last year, according to Memphis Tourism's J.J. Greer, Jarvis's son, who's doing a great job over at Memphis Tourism, it's his job to bring these events to Memphis. Last year with just, right, the kids, I say kids, the prospects, the players, those teams, their parents, $2.8 million in economic impact is what was projected, 5,000-plus hotel rooms. We'll add another layer. Because it won't just be the head coaches from these NCAA programs in college basketball. I mean, essentially all of them. And I expect Penny Hardaway to be out there, considering this is his own backyard. You're going to have their assistants. You're going to have everybody here to monitor Nike and monitor Nike's best. And so a huge deal next weekend. Again, the city's going to be slammed. A smoke slam downtown at Tom Lee. You're going to have the session two of the EYBL over at the Memphis Sports and Events Center. We'll talk to Norton Hurd about that at 1:25. Okay. So it's always a good thing to have a lot to get to when you're past, you know, frankly, the points of the season where Grizzlies and Tigers aren't playing anymore. It feels like it's one of those days. Last night, though, craziest stat ever. I was telling George this before we came on. Since 1998 in the NBA playoffs, teams have gone three wins, and 1,641 losses. After being down 7 points or more in the final minute of the fourth quarter or overtime, according to ESPN. That's three wins, 1,641 losses, and two of the three wins are by the Pacers this postseason. How crazy is that? One of them was last night. And coming back from seven down against the Cleveland Cavaliers, who had to respond. And John, I mean, I'm watching that thing and I'm hating it because John's going to turn out right. Yesterday, we're picking between the teams that are up 1-0, right? They're all underdogs at that point. What we have, we had the Cleveland series. We had we obviously had Denver and the Clippers, and then we had OKC. And John, of those three series, went with the Pacers to pull off the upset as the team he's riding with. I went with Denver in mine. Last night, once we all found out that it's not just Darius Garland that's not going, Mobley's not going either, and Hunter, I'm like, oh man, he's gonna be up 2-0. He's right. Now of the long shots, I'm in the middle. It's still the OKC's still in terms of most favored of the teams that went from highly favored to, I think it's still, if I'm not mistaken, it's still, no, it's Boston. It's Boston still, obviously, yes, over the Knicks. But now to see him, to see that development, I'm thinking, all right, John's going up easy 2-0. And then Donovan Mitchell comes out and goes crazy. And again, we can just fast forward to the fourth quarter. Even after the Pacers had cut it down from, what was it, 20 at one point, you still felt like you got to a minute left. Donovan Mitchell's making the free throws he needs to, even though the dude's got nothing left in the tank, and they're up 7 after a couple of free throws from him with less than a minute left. I'd gone to warm up a Chicago hot dog that my sister-in-law had brought down, because I figured, you know what, the only thing left to see is whether they're going to cover or not. Because I think Brad had, in this case, he had plus 7.5.
Yeah.
He had plus 7.5, I think. That's all that I think, this is going to be. We know what happened after that, and really started with that Aaron Nesmith dunk off of the Pascal Siakam miss. Pascal had missed both free throws with about 40-something seconds left. And you're really thinking that it's over then. And Aaron Nesmith, with a tired Donovan Mitchell, not expecting him to flash sprint towards the goal, goes in there, dunks in the rebound, the miss. At first it's looked at as a potential offensive interference. It's not. He literally crushes Donovan, who's trying to catch up to him, crushes him as he's dunking it. And then right after that, I mean, as soon as that, that basket is counted as good, Donovan turns the ball over trying to get past Nesmith, and everything starts to unravel for Cleveland from there. And it's like Indiana, again, having done this against Milwaukee in overtime last Tuesday, been down 7 in the overtime with less than a minute to go. It's like, oh man, they've opened the door for us. We're going to take this. Even again, after Pascal had just missed the two free throws, Nesmith is really the one that woke this thing up, but it was Halliburton, obviously there at the end, has the free throws, makes the first, misses the second, goes in and gets his own rebound, backs it out like old school, when you're playing in your backyard, you got to take it back. You got to back it back after a rebound. Does that, takes the three, obviously with just huge gut shot there. But in a way, really, still down at that point, I guess playing with a little bit of house money because you're up 1-0, but still a gutsy shot because you go for the win there. And he knocks down the three with about 1 second left, and the Pacers steal another one. A second time they've stole a game they shouldn't have here. And like we told you, 3 in 1,641 NBA playoffs don't do this. NBA playoff teams don't do this. They don't come back from 7 down in the fourth quarter in overtime with less than a minute left. Here are the Pacers doing it twice. I've underestimated something about the Pacers in terms of they're more than just a great offense, obviously. Rick Carlisle is fantastic, and he always has been. And I haven't given them the proper sort of respect that you give in terms of late game execution things. Now, players have got to pull these things off, and keep in mind, Tyrese Halliburton, what the league thought of him in terms of players and those kinds of things. I mean, Indiana's got players, Pascal Siakam, but in terms of late game execution, Rick Carlisle, the guy has done it. And so I have that's where I've been wrong on taking these Pacers for granted. Now, that said, Cleveland's awfully shorthanded, but you cannot lose that game, especially after everything that Donovan has emptied out to basically put it on his back. That they're in a spot where they must win. Indiana's already stolen home court. Donovan essentially does that. I mean, starts out the game, he's dunking on people, knocking down everything, finishes with 48, but you let it slip through your fingers on what should have been some routine box-out plays. Whether that was Donovan Mitchell or somebody else boxing out Nesmith, or at the end and allowing Tyrese Halliburton to rebound his own miss. You can't lose that game if you were Cleveland. So now, what Darius Garland's missed last four, Mobley and Hunter missed this one because they got injured in game one I mean, they have to be all hands on deck. I mean, obviously with this thing shifting back to Indiana, but the focus should really be on what Indiana's pulling off. I mean, there's so many things to be impressed by these Pacers in terms of what stood out to you. To me, it's Tyrese Halliburton's response and yes. how he all of a sudden yes. he is Mr. Clutch when he was just voted by his peers in The Athletic the most overrated player in the league.
I think one of the biggest things that we have to look at in this, and it's the phrasing that you just had with this, is so much of this feels like Indiana is stealing these games. Because if we're looking at not just the play on the court, because obviously it was that late game execution, Rick Carlisle has these guys absolutely rolling when it matters the most.
Yeah, he's got to get some credit.
Look at what Cleveland's not playing poorly. I mean, all the things that we expect when we see the underdog taking these games on the road, we expect some crazy out there, you know, difference or you know, issue that they're having. But Cleveland is sticking around rebounding even without their best rebounder in Evan Mobley, right? They're not turning the ball over to a crazy extent.
Did down the stretch, though. Donovan Mitchell had a key one with the offensive foul, and then Strus turned it over late.
Where it matters the most, they are. And it's not like their efficiency yep. numbers are you know, in the toilet. They're shooting a pretty normal 40-plus percent from the field as a team. Sure, we can talk about three-point percentages, but neither of these teams are great, you know, excellent three-point teams. We're not talking about that. One big thing that I think isn't getting talked about right now is, and this also does not help with the injuries, but the depth of Cleveland. Look at what their bench did last night. Their bench was pretty terrible. I mean, Benedict Mathurin alone in 20 minutes scored almost as many points as Cleveland's bench the entire
yep.
night.
Yep. I mean, they're moving guys up to
they're
account
having
for,
to.
Right?
They're to, having
and then
to.
You don't have one of your key reserves in Hunter. And so, yeah, last night you come up short. That said, it felt like Donovan had done enough, and clearly he had when you're up seven and only, you know, two other times since 1998 have teams blown that lead there.
Even with the two turnovers from Donovan Mitchell, he is the last player on Cleveland that I can really pin this on. I mean,
oh, no, I'm not pinning it on him at all. I would say he did everything he could. Even in Aaron Nesmith beating him to the basket, it was sort of emblematic of the night that he had. He had nothing left in the tank. If you saw it, Nesmith just beats him. He tries to grab him. It's too late. Donovan's like, he's holding his shorts for most of the end of that game, and that's what started it. And then you had the play right after where Donovan is trying to get past him. Nesmith, again, on the sideline, ends up hitting him with the elbow. At first, some thought it might be a flagrant, but you have to credit. It's guys like Nesmith who had 23 points last night. Miles Turner, 23 points. It's not just a Halliburton thing.
I love Miles Turner, by the way.
Dude,
I love Miles Turner.
Underrated probably is what the word that should be applied to this roster, sort of these performances from these guys. Everything's been overrated in terms of the way we've talked about Halliburton, you know, the player survey. I did see a stat really impressive from Jay Williams that he said he grabbed, I think, from ESPN. Tyrese Halliburton now 10 of 11 on shots to tie or take the lead in the final minute of games this season.
Wow.
That's not an overrated. That's a clutch player.
Yeah.
And that's what he's showing. That's what he's shown so far in these playoffs. He was, again, the last three games from him have been tremendous. But to take that shot last night after grabbing your own rebound off the miss of a free throw, incredible performance by him. I don't think this series is done. It's not just because I'm rooting against John Martin and I've got Denver to win that series and I'm going against him on this one. But it's all going to depend on whether they can get Darius Garland and Mobley out there, because here's the issue. You can't ride Donovan Mitchell like that again. You've already played that card and you lost.
Yep.
He's not going to have, in terms of what he put out last night, he's not going to have that the rest of the way. I mean, sure, guys can rest up, you know, get some of it back. Fill those tanks up back a little bit more, but no, man. After he expends that much energy, is my point. That's going to show, and so they're going to have to get those reinforcements in there if they are going to make this a series. I had intended on talking about both. I mean, Minnesota, in a way, that Minnesota outcome, and frankly, what was it, 88 points for them, and a loss to Golden State, who loses Steph Curry in the first half. And you're like, well, okay, surely Minnesota's going to come back and win. Just as surprising in a way, not the way it unfolded nearly at the end, obviously, but the fact that, you know, Golden State now, even without Steph Curry, up 1-0, boy, did they feel like they have to get it that one since they were positioned to do so. We'll talk more about that after we talk to Jason Fitz, We're going to talk to him about this trade. We woke up this morning, Adam Schefter had the news that George Pickens, the Pittsburgh Steelers wide receiver, initially thought maybe he's going to be with DK Metcalf in terms of a 1-2 there for Pittsburgh, traded to the Dallas Cowboys. We'll talk with Fitzy about that. Draft, last night's NBA. We'll get to Minnesota and Golden State with him. Lots more to do here on the Jason John Show. You listen to 92.9.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available if at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
NFM ESPN. We haven't talked to you this morning from Adam Schefter. Let's go there. George Pickens from the Pittsburgh Steelers, who will not be with DK Metcalf and whoever's going to play quarterback for the Steelers. He's going to be with CeeDee Lamb and Dak Prescott. Your immediate thoughts on this trade where he leaves Pittsburgh?
This is a disaster. You know, there's a couple of reasons. Number one, like one of our insiders that Yahoo Sports, Jory Epstein, covered the Cowboys for years. And I was talking to Jory, you know, just as trying to get a sense of what makes the Cowboys different. And she said, you got to understand, there's no other team in the NFL that in the middle of practice will have sponsors literally walk through practice because it's a day where Coca-Cola gets a tour and they get private access to what's going on. Like the distractions in Dallas are real. So now you're taking somebody that has been a distraction and an outward loud distraction at one of the toughest organizations to be a distraction in. Like Antonio Brown was, his chaos was largely hidden by the competency of the Steelers organization. George Pickens couldn't even have that benefit. So now you bring a guy that is up and down in his effort. When he plays, is absolutely incredible. When he plays like he cares, but at times just disappears, going to an organization that's full of absolute chaos nonstop that also allows you to amplify your spotlight in a way that makes it hard to sort of remain centered in who you are. And on top of all that, he's a guy that's going to expect to get paid. And the Cowboys haven't even figured out how they're paying Parsons. And so, and then on the other side of it, you got a Steelers team that still doesn't really have an answer at quarterback that, you know, seems to be the fans seem to be impatient with Mike Tomlin at this point. They just made it tougher for them to have any success with whatever their quarterback situation is. Like, this genuinely feels like a lose-lose for both teams, but Pickens gets his way. Like, I just this feels icky to me. I think in a year we're talking about this as being a disastrous move for both sides.
I look at Pittsburgh's offense, at least right now, as currently constructed, and I say, what? I think even Orlovsky said, I mean, like, this is the least scariest offense in the NFL right now. We respect Arthur Smith. We know him well here from Memphis, obviously, and what he can do in terms of your two tight ends grind it out, run on you. But it doesn't look good. I would ask you this, though, because of his history with Antonio Brown, because we know that Tomlin, even you know, we're questioning some of the moves here of late. We know he's a culture man. Do we trust that, you know, not paying George Pickens, which is what they're essentially saying we're not going to do, is the right move, though, even though it leaves them for right now appearingly shorthanded?
Yes, long term, not paying George Pickens is the right move. Short term, I guess my question is, like, what have you done to improve your team in this transaction? So you don't pay him in a year. Okay. And so you get rid of the distraction. Okay. I hear all of that. But what about any of that is going to make you actually play better this year? Like, right. To me, they should have been really aggressive all over the place at building more offensive talent if they didn't have a clear-cut answer quarterback. Like, look, I'm okay. And all signs pointed to that they weren't in love with Shador. And that's fine. Like, I think we learned a lot of teams weren't in love with Shador. Yeah. Okay. What is their actual plan at the quarterback position that's going to make them competent this year? Are they really all eggs in on a weird Aaron Rodgers situation that nobody has true explanation of why we're still sitting here waiting? Like, Aaron Rodgers has made it clear he's not even sure what's going to happen, blah, 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 blah. Okay, so if you're in that situation, I'll go back to something Pete Carroll said that I think is important when he was hired by the Raiders. He said, you know, quarterback is the most difficult position to play in sports. So one thing you have to do is make sure you surround that person with people that make that job easier. Well, DK is a big step towards that. DK is a huge step towards that. But man, what else did they do this offseason that makes us feel like they're dynamic around their quarterback? Nothing. Like, so I feel like right now it's clear that they're the third best team in their own division. Like, it's clear that they're not as good as the Bengals, who can't play defense at all. They're clearly not as good as the Ravens, and it's clear that they're not a threat in the AFC. Like, sure, they'll win 9 games because that's what Tomlin does every year, but they ain't a threat. And like, and then what happens? Like, if the Steelers go, let's say, oh my God, for the first time ever, they're barely a losing season. They go 8-9.
Right.
Is there going to be some move from their fans that just screaming, we want to get rid of? Like, is this the moment that Tomlin and this whole era ends because the team feels like they don't have an answer? And if that's the case, like, they didn't do anything to make the next guy's job easier either. And, like, they're just it's broken.
And I was right there. I think for that reason, like you said, Mike Tomlin can't afford another season like this if he wants this thing to go on. I mean, at that point, it would be sort of crossroads. You either move on, or maybe they should move on from you. Either way, but that's what I'm saying. You really going to go out like this? And that's I'm saying that to say everything that you just laid out, the willingness to move on from Pickens right now. You've only added, I think, Kenneth Gainwell, who we know here from Memphis, but a guy that you're going to put with Jalen Warren. It's not really a 1-2 in the usual sense. I'm going to say it all points to me towards, and they're saying, you know, it's being reported that they're in still constant contact with Aaron. That this must be it, because Mike Tomlin's not going to go out like that. That he must be fine dumbing it down, simplifying it, getting some of the bad culture guys out, because he feels like he's got Aaron Rodgers in. There's no way Mike Tomlin's going to be cool with just being mediocre. He's got vets that he's got to, you know, he'd be in the locker room that he's got to answer to. They won't just be okay with mediocre. So surely this means Aaron's coming, is the way I look at it.
That's a great take by you, and it makes a lot of sense. Here's the only thing. If we can record this and clip this off in a year.
Please.
If the Steelers have a bad year this year, my question is, with this roster built the way it is right now, what coach do you think would have gotten more out of them? This is what I just I would beg Steelers fans to look at it and say, okay, just look at your roster. Y'all think you're better than the Chiefs today? You think you're better than the Ravens, the Bills?
Nope.
You think you're better than the Chargers? Like, you think this roster is constructed is better than the Bengals? I don't. And again, the Bengals can't play defense. But, man, you look up and down the board. I think the problem here is that the only way that Mike Tomlin and the Steelers aren't right back in this situation a year from right now is if Aaron Rodgers comes back and is just supercharged to be the best version of Aaron Rodgers that we've ever seen. I wouldn't want to bank my livelihood on that from him,
no,
right?
Sir.
So, like, when this thing implodes, and I think it's going to blow, I think Pittsburgh's going to be bad this year, and I can't believe we're saying that. But, like, when Pittsburgh's bad and everybody says, fire Tomlin, the voice doesn't resonate anymore, the only thing I would beg is, like, just ask yourself, if you were playing the video game version, if you picked up Madden today, how many people with no dog in the fight would actually want to play as the Steelers? The answer's none. Like, this roster stinks.
It is awful. It is right now, even though it's got our man Calvin Austin III on it right now. It feels like he just got bumped up from the 3 to the 2. He's from Memphis. We love him to death. Hopefully he's going to get a contract out of this, whether it's to be the 3 or whatever else. Talking, of course, to Jason Fitz, Yahoo Sports football host, Fox Sports Radio host here. All right, I haven't talked to you. We haven't talked to you since draft. And ever since draft, really leading up to it, we kept saying Jason Fitz was the first we heard say that Jackson Dart's going to go before Shadur. Now, a lot of things happened. Shadur kept falling all the way to round five, but you were the guy that called it. That was something we clipped up. You were saying it before the Grazianos and all them were the week before, and then we saw the fall. So a salute to you on being right a couple of weeks before the draft. But then, man, because you've got the – what happened? No, I think even you would have said, right, even at that time, oh, he'll go after Jackson Dart, but not in the fifth round. What do you sort of attribute to the whole thing to?
Yeah, I think a couple of things here. Number one, nobody saw that fall coming. And
nobody.
Even our insiders, like the people that are as plugged in as I've ever met, people I talk to around the league, I spent, after the first night of the draft, I spent hours on the phone before our next day's broadcast trying to figure out where Shadur was going to go. And there wasn't a single person that I could talk to that thought he wouldn't go day two. Not a single person. And so, you know, the fact that he went, you know, fifth round, this is one story that I got from, you know, the second hand. But I got this after day two of the draft. I was talking to a former college football coach that's still plugged in around the league. And he said that, you know, Shadur went into his one-on-one meeting with an NFL coach. Didn't say which one. But he said in the middle of their meeting, the Shadur got a FaceTime call from his friends, and he picked up the phone, and he answered the FaceTime call. And he stayed on the call for like 3 minutes.
Good
and
grief.
The coach finally was like, you know, hello. And when Shadur hung up the phone, Shadur seemed bothered by him. And the funny thing is, you know, so many people want to make this about something, you know, about Shadur's dad or about anything. Like, I can honestly tell you the sense I've gotten in talking to people since the draft is that Shadur, not Dion, not anything else, Shadur and the way he handled himself truly bothered people. And there was a real moment after day two in the draft where, you know, one team told one of our guys, hey, now you're asking yourself the question, is it worth this level of distraction for a fourth or fifth or sixth round pick? And so once he wasn't selected in the third round,
yep.
Then he started looking around saying, man, do we want the circus for a fifth rounder? I don't know. So, you know, I think the Browns this is a wildly weird situation to me. Like, how can you justify kicking Dylan Gabriel?
You got
in
Dylan
the third
Gabriel
round?
Too. Yeah.
And like, so now if Shadur beats out Dylan, you're telling your whole fan base you wasted a third round pick
on
a team that can't do that. So like, I still think it's a failing. And then you've also got this system of how many practice reps with four quarterbacks are they going to be able to give Shadur where he can really prove himself and move himself up. So yeah, this is a really weird and terrible situation. Like I think Shadur's tape never to anybody I talked to, they kept saying Shadur's tape is not a first round quarterback tape, but it's such a thirsty league for quarterbacks. Somebody will take him in the first round. That was the logic. And then that didn't happen. And look, I kept hearing enough with Jackson Dart that I felt really confident about that. And I appreciate you mentioning it, but through all of that, I really believed that the absolute floor for Shadur was the end of the second round.
Oh, I knew that. Right. So, yes. You were high on him. Know? It wasn't a deal where you thought, okay, well, guys, you weren't predicting, you know, projecting fall because it's, you know, yeah, no, I'm with you.
Think,
it was shocking to see.
Look at the Raiders. Like the Raiders, Tom Brady is and has been a mentor to Shadur. And the Raiders passed on him, if you include the number of times they traded, they passed on him 7 times before he was actually selected. So, like, they told you they're more comfortable with Geno Smith and next year's draft class than Shadur 7 times. And so, like, that just speaks to, I think the young man really did himself a disservice in the way he handled himself with teams. And the NFL was, a couple of people I talked to, my direct question was the league sending him a message? And the answer I got repeatedly was, yes, but not a message about his dad and not a message about, like, you know, you don't get to like, it was a message about if you don't respect this league, the league will not respect you. And the league felt disrespected by him in the way that he handled himself one-on-one in meetings. And that's, I don't know how you undo that damage. It's good old boys club that talks to each other a lot about that stuff. And I feel like he hurt himself more than he could ever realize. I hope he learns from it. And I would love to see Shadur shock the world and become the starting quarterback, because now I think he was like, this fall is just something that breaks my heart for any kid. But man, he did this to himself. He's got to learn from it.
Well, you make me wonder from the insight you just gave us whether that coach was Dable. You don't have to go. I got a different direction I want to go, but whether that coach was Dable, because everything I read is that Giants interview went really bad for him. And Dable's the kind of guy, having worked with a Josh Allen, there's a respect around the league. If he says, you know what, this guy doesn't get it, I just imagine it won't just be coaches, you know, necessarily agreeing with him. You'll probably have some front offices and everything saying we don't need to touch this guy.
I will tell you that it was not Dable.
Okay.
So this
interesting.
But to that point, your Dable story is correct. So that tells you now we got two coaches. Because the way I heard it, and you know, the way the rumor mill was giving me is that, you know, when you start dropping F-bombs at Dable because you don't like the way he's talking to you, that ain't going to work. That ain't going to work.
Not.
Like, you want that person when you're getting drafted. It just isn't. So to your point, Dable is part of it. But the coach I heard about was another coach. So now you're talking about at least two instances. And like, man, you like that's where Shador just, I think, somewhere lost perspective, because there's no way for all we want to say about Deion and everything else, like, Deion understands what the NFL is built like. There's no way that Shador goes into that situation with an understanding of what he's doing when he acts. It's just, it's wild to me.
Didn't they, it wasn't just a player swap for Pickett either, right? They traded for him. I want to say some draft capital as well. Just looking at, like you said, you spend a third rounder on Dylan Gabriel. Are you going to let Shador make the team? Then I think you've got Flacco and Deshaun. Just what Cleveland is doing, I just can't, you know, at that. I realize you got to figure out something as you get set to move off Deshaun, get to, you know, pay this money, whatever. But this what they're doing with it, I just can't understand it. And if, again, you allow Shador to beat out Dylan Gabriel, what does that say? You've just completely wasted a pick. So I can't I thought blow up Cleveland, start over, new slate, but it doesn't seem like it just seems like they're doing more boneheaded things. I feel like it's the same thing maybe on this Dallas side, because I saw just to real quick back to the Pickens thing, that he's not looking for an extension from them. Now, I can't imagine that Jerry Jones is going to use draft capital and not look to immediately resign him. But like, if George Pickens hits the market and doesn't even resign with you, then blow up this thing too. Then what a foolish move. In addition, you're bringing a risk in terms of a culture guy into a situation that's already a circus, a zoo.
But if there's anything we can be sure of, is the Cowboys will get the deal done late and they'll overpay.
Like, that's exactly what happens. All right.
That is their MO.
I got to give you your chance, because John would have done it if he's here, and hopefully he's going to be joining us a little bit second hour. But you got Genty. How many is he rushing for in year one? Where all of us that didn't get him are jealous, obviously. What's he going to look like in that Raiders offense?
Oh, man, he's going to be a beast. This is one of those guys that he's a day one difference maker that is going to get the touches. And, you know, I said it before he was drafted, and I think he has the ability to be an MVP candidate in this league. I think he has the ability to be Saquon and Christian McCaffrey, and I stand by that. And, look, all the conversation about, do you draft a running back? Is it a wasted pick? I don't know. To me, when your team stinks, you need players that are great.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know, Brock Bowers didn't result in a lot of wins, but I sure feel glad that he's a Raider. And Ashton Genty might not result in a 10-win season this year, but, man, this offense looks a heck of a lot better today than it did 3 weeks ago. And, you know, they pick up Besh in the second round, a wide receiver that I think is gold for them. So this is this offense looks much better, much more confident, much more grown up today than it did even 2 weeks ago. And I think, you know, that's all you can ask for. So, yeah, Ashton Genty is going to be a superstar in this league, and Chip Kelly's going to use him like a maniac. So, look, y'all, like, if you have a chance in a fantasy draft to get up there, and, you know, if you're doing a keeper league or anything like that, go up there and get him. But even this year when you come in, like, I think by the time we get to the season, there are going to be plenty of people that tell you that Ashton Genty is worth a top three pick in this year's draft.
Oh, he's going to be absolute stud. Can I get you to buy real quick on Luther Burden being one of the steals of the draft for the Chicago Bears? What do you think?
I'm buying all day on Burden. And the smart thing that somebody told me is, like, if you understand the Lions offense well, you understand that they want versatility inside, outside. They want to be able to move their receivers inside sometimes, and their tight ends outside. That's what the Lions did so effectively.
Yep.
And while the Bears, everybody keeps talking about all the weapons they already had, they don't have a ton of versatility inside, outside. Burden gives them that. So, like, they did a nice job in this draft of saying, hey, we're going to get better chess pieces for this new offense. I think Chicago is going to be a lot of fun this year, man.
Man, I hope so. I hope so. It's a difficult schedule, but I hope it's a lot more fun. Certainly going to be an improved team. Fitzy, you're the best, brother. We love you, man. Hopefully have you next week, brother. Thank you.
Yep. Talk to you next week. See you, buddy.
Yes, sir. That's why we love talking to Jason Fitz. Most of the stuff that he predicts NFL-wise comes true. He told me Sean Payton and Russell Wilson will not work out. He said, fool, it's not going to work. Stop. He was right about that. obviously ended up being incredibly right, even though we didn't know it. And he said it. He didn't think Shador would fall as far as he did, but he said it before anybody else that he wasn't going to be, as high, the second quarterback taken off of the board. Actually said Jackson Dart would be end up being right about that. So love having Fitzy. Appreciate his time anytime that we can get him. I'm told by John Martin he's going to be returning by rundown, George, and so we will be fully staffed here by second hour. We got plenty more to do. I got a couple of more thoughts, obviously, on the Cowboys trade for Pickens, and then we've got to get into, and we'll do that when we get back, last night's Minnesota Golden State game. Talked a lot about the Pacers upset, clearly coming back to win, how crazy that was. Kind of crazy in a different way that Golden State was able to win without Steph. Can they continue to do that? We'll talk about that series when we get back. Listen, Jason John, 929 FM ESPN. Mentioned it earlier, Smokeslam's coming to Memphis next weekend down at Tom Lee Park on the river, May 15th through 17th. It's the world's ultimate barbecue showdown, and it's back in 2025. It's $250,000 purse. It's not like the old days where you had to have an invite to the tent to actually taste the barbecue. It's going to be a family experience, and you can have all the barbecue you want. Get a meet and greet with Melissa Cookston, 7-time world barbecue champion. They've got the big old Ferris wheel. It's literally phrased that way because it's that big out there as well. Oh, boy, times are getting good. I'm talking Smokeslam. John Martin's walking in the door. It's going to be a full house rest of the way, and they've got a great full lineup in terms of musically. Shane Smith and the Saints, Revivalists, Country Music Giants, Big and Rich going to be there, as well as Mark Edgar Stewart, Jambi Southern Avenue, and many more. Three-day passes, single-day tickets on sale right now. Going fast, though. You got to get over to Smokeslam.com to get them. VIP experiences also available. We can roll out the red carpet for you. Do it VIP style. It's all going to be in great style down on the river. Again, next weekend, guys, town's going to be jumping next weekend. Really is. Smokeslam going to be a big part of that. Again, get your tickets at Smokeslam.com. Should be a great time down at Tom Lee Park. May 15th through the 17th, we are joined by the man, John. Oh, we're back. You ain't going to sit here and listen to me talk for 5 minutes and wait to come back on the rundown. And you come in as we have breaking news.
Yeah.
That I'd love for you to respond to. It was our man King George that alerted me to it. Cham Charania reports that Steph Curry has sustained a grade one left hamstring strain, will be ruled out for game two, which we probably expected. It's the first strained muscle of Curry's career. Says the timeline is unknown. He's going to miss at least 1 week with that grade one left hamstring strain. John, that would put him, 1 week puts you on game five.
At the absolute earliest.
The thing is, you've got, for the first time in the series, where it's not every other day,
right,
3 days of rest between game five and six, which is then May 18th. You know, that's why winning last night could be very important, because if you could get him back, that, you know, May 18th, you give him those extra 3 days there.
Yes.
That's 11 days of rest. Again, it's his first hamstring injury. So who knows? I mean, you saw it. This is a guy that runs miles, literally, during games. So.
And he knew it as soon as it happened.
Oh, yeah.
He knew.
But still got a bucket, even though he knew it on the one. But he knew right after, I got to go out. I can't force this anymore.
I don't think we see him game five. Because
I don't either.
It's obviously,
that's a week from today,
likely not going to be an elimination game, right? One way or the other. I think we see him game six at home. Just because it's the last stand. But I'll say this. He won't be good. Like, he won't be himself.
What will the series be at that point?
I think it'll be 3-2 going back to the Bay.
Okay.
Wouldn't you bet that?
They win tomorrow.
They win one in Golden State, and then they win Game Five at home. That's sort of how I see it playing out. And then you're like, all right, kitchen sink game, Steph, we need you to come back. Just be a decoy. But when you're talking like that, it's over. I mean, it's just over. It's crazy because it looked like if he was going to be fully healthy for the series, they would have absolutely blasted this Minnesota team, you know, very quickly.
What they did in terms of their plan, like we said, against Minnesota's bigs, man, they outworked Minnesota, but they out-rebounded by 10.
Yep.
It was 18-12 on the offensive glass.
Yep.
I mean, and Steph Curry had led them in rebounding last series. He goes out in second quarter.
And obviously,
guys just stepped up. Draymond was huge.
He couldn't miss from three. Buddy Hield couldn't miss again. Jimmy, you know what you're getting from him. But
he couldn't hit it first and then gave them what they needed down the stretch. I think it was the 22 or 24 came late.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
But you were outscored by two in the second half without Steph, despite all that, you know. And I think that's probably, you know, you look back at it, you're like, okay, an 11-point second quarter. That's never going to happen again for the Timberwolves in this series, right? I mean, outrageous.
I'm just saying, if I'm Chris Finch, I just got done challenging, and we'll get to that and talk more about it in rundown, I guess, but just got done having to challenge Anthony Edwards. I don't want this thing getting to a game six. It's got to be blood in the water, even though we're down 0-1.
Win four in a row.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Against this team, because, you know, Kerr with that zone and what they did in terms of on the glass, dude, he coached. You're calling out Anthony Edwards. Kerr outcoached you.
Yep.
And so it has to be a response, and it would seem to me like we don't just need to – we have to go back and, you know, go steal one on their floor, get home court back. We need to finish them off while Steph is gone is the way I would be approaching this if I'm Minnesota.
Absolutely.
Even with, to your point, he won't be the same, but yeah. I don't want to see him again.
Well, I just feel like every time
I've already blown game one.
Have we already talked about the notable hamstring injuries in the NBA playoffs before? Like, I feel like there have – like, I can't remember one where it worked out well. You know what I mean?
Oh, they're never good. They take time. And usually a week doesn't get it done. Now, this is a grade one, so.
Yeah. This is a grade one. But, you know, A, he's 36 years old.
36, 37.
You mentioned 37. It. Yeah. He's never dealt with it before. And he is somebody.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hey, everyone. Summer is just around the corner, and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high-quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed and Odyssey Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.